Wait, no, let's figure out what we're doing first. Yeah, well, okay. Allie's like, let's do this, people.
Well, welcome. Today we are giving, bringing you a surprise live here. We are going to be taking our podcast and filming it today. We have actually kind of a two. We're doing this together. You have your podcast you're looking to start. I have my podcast that I've started. You've obviously been a guest many times. This is Nathan Gist, confidence coach Nathan Gist. My podcast, Horse and Home Podcast, and yours.
Confident Equestrian.
So we are kind of doing this several part way of bringing it to you by we're live here on Facebook. We didn't tell anybody we were doing this, so hopefully you'll get a notification and you'll join us here today. We'll also be having this recorded, and this will be on our podcast, which you can get on Apple Podcasts, or you can get it anywhere you get podcasts, by the way. Apple Podcasts is the way that you can like rate it. Like you can give it 5 stars. If you don't give it 5 stars and you don't want to give it 5 stars, that's fine. Just don't do it at all. Right. You got to learn, right? If you got nothing nice to say, just, you know, keep your mouth shut. Anyway, today we're bringing to you.
He's very tactful.
Very, very blunt. Today we're bringing to you kind of something that Nathan came to me. He's like, I got an idea, something I want to talk about, want to get off my chest, if you will.
That's right.
And it was about Chatterbox. And honestly, when you sent me a text message saying I want to do about Chatterbox, I thought, what were you drinking?
So, what, lost his mind.
So what in the heck is Chatterbox, Nathan?
Yeah, so the Chatterbox really is the conversations that we have inside our own mind, right? Okay. It's that constant chatter for, you know, what we're having inside, you know, whether it's good, bad, whether we are sometimes awake or asleep, it's just constantly going.
So if I'm thinking of myself as a failure, I am a failure? Is that what you're basically saying?
The thing is, the perception of yourself could be that. Right? Like if you made $1 million, if you're thinking that you're constantly a failure, you'd be like, well, I didn't make 2 million or, you know, 1,000,001.
Well,
it's
so
that constant conversation about it.
So while you were talking, I don't know if you heard the employees in the background. They were saying that I was a failure. So like, are you saying Chatterbox is internal or external?
Well, we got two, right? You got the external chatter and then you got the chatter on the inside. And so lots of times we find in life that, yeah, there's difficulty on the outside, right? But you can also have people that are supportive and still feel like that failure on the inside, right? You're doing good, you're great, whatever. And then there's, oh, you have to tell me that, or they don't really mean that, or there's no sincerity there.
Well, you know, that's actually a huge part of it. Like when you're riding, essentially, how many times has anybody ever felt like somebody around them, an instructor or a close friend, family member, whatever, they're like, you're okay, you're fine, right? Tell someone who is panicking, you're fine. Do you think that that calms them down any, or does that make it worse, right? No. It obviously makes it worse. So it is that chatterbox internally. So you have a supportive person, what you're saying, you have a supportive person, but that supportive person really, not that they don't mean anything to you, but what they're saying at that moment really may mean nothing.
And there's a couple things. I mean,
it might be a variance of that, but I'm just saying that's something that might be relatable of, you know, the chatterbox that's going on inside your head essentially is stopping you from being, you know, understanding what they're saying as a supportive.
Yeah, it's a filter. Well, in a couple ways, right? One, it can filter the information that's coming into your mind from the outside. But kind of what I really chat about today is more about what's going on the inside already.
Okay.
Right? It's that constant everyday conversation. And this can be everything from writing to relationships, the way you think about yourself, finances, you name it.
Yeah.
It's the part of me saying that conversation you have inside of you. And if you're like, I don't talk to myself, well,
right? Then you're the crazy one, because I think everyone else talks to themselves.
I mean, you have to. It's part of how we function as a human being.
No, you're absolutely right. So how is it that we can start, right? I mean, there is those things, what it is you say to yourself, what, you know, how you perceive things, et cetera. How do you start to make a change? So let's just take, before we get into that, you know, you take somebody who talks negative about themselves.
Yeah.
How do you start to even think about, making a change, because you can't just have that, you know, I'm a positive thinker, you know, bull crap. You got to start to make a change somewhere else. How do you start doing that then?
Yeah. And so one of the first things you do is you become aware of it, right? Try to catch yourself in that. Okay. Because lots of times we think that our internal voice, right, that conversation on the inside, we think that's who we are. Yeah. It's an aspect of us, right? It's your thoughts, your feelings, your emotion. It's not who you are. It's a part of who you are.
Yeah.
And so if all of a sudden you're not aware of the conversation and you're recognizing, is this positive most of the time? Is it negative most of the time? You know, those kind of topics, then you don't know where you are. So first, it's like any map, right? You are here. Yeah. And so let's start from there and begin to take a note of the kind of conversations we're having in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a huge thing. But again, it's one of those things, try not to necessarily think you're trying to, when you start catching yourself in that, you're not necessarily trying to just immediately turn into a positive thinker. Because there was a saying I heard once you can't positively think your way out of having weeds in a garden.
Right.
You know, there are no weeds. And there still will be weeds, you know. Yeah. So you can't positively think your way out of everything, but it is starting where you're talking about, starting from the fact of recognizing when there is a negative, talk to yourself.
Yeah. Catch yourself. Like you said, right? Affirmations are great, but I mean, I'll never be a 7-foot-tall professional basketball player. Think I can't. It's not going to happen.
He has no running abilities.
Zero skill sets. So I run when there's an ice cream truck or something's chasing me.
Right. No, we don't have to be fast, just faster than you.
That's right. And so again, step one, figure out what kind of thinking you're having in the first place. So if you are getting in the ring, if you're thinking about going for the ride, what are the conversations that you're having immediately? Is it immediately fear? I can't do this. It's not going to work. Something's going to go wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Because if it is, the way that I describe it, it's almost like when you're driving and you see a pothole, right? You see the pothole on the side of the road, you're driving, you're like, don't hit it, don't hit it, don't hit it. What are you going to do? Right? That's what happens. And so we have to realize that in order to miss the pothole, the situations we're trying to avoid when we're riding or even in life and whatnot, we have to focus on where we want to be first. Be aware that the issues could be there, but focus on where you want to go. And that's the direction you begin to move in. If you're constantly focusing on the negative, I assure you, you're going to go right into it.
Yeah. Tunnel vision, in a sense, you know.
Very thinking, much so.
You know, I always relate it to that of driving a car. You don't want to look 10 feet in front of you, or you're going to crash, right? Overall, right? You need to look 200 feet.
The right amount of distance.
You need to plan enough ahead and to kind of think about what's going ahead. And we all, I mean, just as kind of a side note, relating even to, heck, steering your horse. I know this is kind of even farther, but if you're trying to steer your horse in a circle, but you're looking at the ears, thinking about what color they might change into, you're not going to be able to steer into that perfect circle. You're going to be kind of zigzagging all over like a drunk person. So making sure that you're looking 50, 60 feet ahead of you and really planning out that roadmap in your mind as where you want to go, which again comes back to literally anything you do in life.
Very much so.
So road mapping is something that's huge, you know, planning out, where you want to go, but also recognizing, and I don't know if this is going to go along the lines of chatterboxing, but in a sense, being able to, when things happen, being able to veer, but keep going towards your ending goal. Right. Okay. Now this is something we talk about, you know, success isn't found in a straight line. No. You know, it's a course correcting zigzag pattern all the time. You make a failure. Yeah.
Sometimes you're standing, sometimes you're crawling.
Right. And I guess to me, when you're talking about it, I'm kind of relating it to that in a sense, and it might be a far relation in that sense, but relating to the fact that what you say in your mind, though you might have a tunnel vision, if you will, a roadmap into where you want to go, don't think that you're not going to run into any issues, right, along the way. So when you run into an issue, what do? You stop and go back to that same thought that you had? You're like, you know what? Damn it. I was right. I am not good for myself.
You circle around in the pothole and make that one more time.
Right. You know, and so, you know, you don't want to get stuck there. You don't want to go backwards into that. You need to say, I realized I went in the wrong direction. I need to course correct, go into a different direction. And hopefully this will lead me towards my path, knowing I'm probably going to need to course correct at least 500 more times before I finally get to my final destination.
Yeah.
Does that kind of go into what you're talking about?
It does.
I know it was a little bit of a roundabout way, but I feel like I brought it back.
He's a good man. And so it does. And it encases all of these different things. And I guess part of what I want to do is kind of walk us through some of those steps. Again, for the third time mentioning this, one, create your awareness, right? And one of the ways you can do that is write that stuff down. If you're thinking about going for the ride and all of a sudden fear is rising up, notice the conversations that you're writing around that. Write that stuff down. Okay, we have that. Second part of that is we're going to begin to look at how you perceive that now. Two ways that we can look at it. One, emerged inside of it, meaning that we are completely associated. We're feeling this, right? All the emotions, everything that's caught up into the thinking of I'm going to go for the ride. What if this goes wrong? All of those things, but you're feeling that. Mm-hmm. The other way is, what if you stepped out? Imagine you're stepping out of that for a moment and you're seeing yourself almost like a fly on the wall. Or you see yourself from a distance and you're looking at yourself and you're saying, okay, you're reacting this way. Now, what can we do to begin to prepare for that or plan for that? Mm. And so what that does, that little bit of distance right there, hopefully that, again, that disassociation begins to separate that emotion out and hopefully bring up some of that logical thinking. Because mm-hmm. if we're purely in emotion, logic is out the window. Yeah. it's you mentioned before, you tell somebody to calm down, right? Yeah. That's one of the first things I learned in my relationship with my wife. Don't tell the woman to calm down.
Right? No.
Or any person, even if somebody says that to me, we immediately, it turns into that.
No, I've caught myself way too many times. My wife suffers from severe anxiety and too many times, like I get in from, you're tired at the end of the day and she's like, I'm having an anxiety attack. Calm down, honey. You're fine. And then don't you dare tell me to go. Whoa, I'm awake now. What? What are we talking about now? So actually, I do want to go backwards, though, a little bit into those. You had those three steps there. There's two of the things I want to talk about. One, writing it down. Writing it down for a multitude of things. There's a sense of basically getting it out of your off of your mind. Putting it on paper is almost a way of taking it off of your mind and putting it directly out of it. And it can be almost out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. And it also gives a way to express it. Because one of the things when I'm talking with my clients, even though I'm working with horses and a whole deal, people are still dealing with regular stuff. And even when somebody's having difficulty for sleeping, one of the things I talk to them about is write the stuff down before you go to bed, because the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. And if it's significantly important to your mind, right, it's got an emotional charge to it, your mind is going to try to work through it. It's trying to figure out, what do I do with this information? So even when you're falling asleep, you have this conversation happening on that subconscious level that is not allowing for that depth of sleep there, because it's like the case of your computer. It's just trying to keep that information there ready to pop up anytime.
Yeah.
And so once you get it on paper, it's having, like you said, that distance from it, that I know it's there. Now this can rest.
Yeah. The second thing that you had talked about was, it was the third thing, but I wanted to talk about it, was the fly on the wall.
Yeah.
This is something that actually I use this kind of concept all the time from, talking about imagination. How do we use imagination to kind of best benefit you as a rider? And, I know you're well aware of it. I talk about it all the time. Imagination has been clinically proven to help someone, be more successful, whatever they're trying to be successful at, up to 30%.
Yeah.
And it's like wicked crazy, like that study that was done with basketball players, how impressive that is with imagination. Now, take that fly on the wall, right? Take that idea of fly on the wall, and you say, picture yourself riding that horse and picture yourself riding it successfully. And then, be that successful person, yeah. Mimic that person. And you will literally communicate the exact way that you want to.
Yeah. And it allows your mind to begin to see those things. So for example, if you think of, use riding for a perfect example, if you're sitting there, when you're in the saddle thinking, okay, here's my position, here's my feet, here's the reins, here's this, here, and you're going through that mental checklist of absolutely everything, one, that the joy and the freedom and the elation of being in the ride isn't going to be there because you're thinking about all those steps in that time, but it's also almost impossible to do that. And so you have to kind of step back for a moment and just allow your body and your mind to do what you've been trained to do. I mean, if you're a first time rider, okay, all that stuff is going to be happening. But if you've been doing this for years and you're still trying to go through that mental checklist, that's one of those stopping points for us. There's a moment of stepping back and trusting yourself and having that confidence in it, but also having that fly on the wall mentality of seeing yourself in that place. One of the other things you can do with it, and this is the one of the really powerful ones, is now begin to coach yourself. Get that for a moment. See those things in that image. Maybe it's a perfect ride, but again, what is a perfect ride? Anything outside of that is downhill.
Yeah.
But we think about a very good ride. And then we think about in the future, we begin to add in certain things. What if this? What if that? What if that? And then you begin to find the resolution for those things. But my point in this is that when you're thinking about your riding, the way that you're moving, the way that you're thinking, begin to coach yourself from the outside. And what that does too, is it gives you that further view from it. And it's more of that disassociation. It's not just the raw emotion of it where fear and doubt and worry and self, you know, all that other stuff can be there, but stepping out and saying, hey, great job on this. You can do this, pay attention to this. And it kind of gives you that way of just coaching yourself through it.
And, you know, with coaching yourself, a quick tip to kind of help you with that, to those who, well, are pretty much any human and are an overthinker, which everyone really is, right? So the thing about that is when you think about how do I coach myself and you try to come up with a realistic way, because when you start coaching yourself and in your mind, you're already in your head, right? If you're an overthinker, which most of us are, if you're an overthinker, you're in your head already. And now you're saying, well, I got to be in my head more to coach myself because I'm that fly on the wall. So here's a little tip that
That in the saddle.
Well, actually, here's a little tip that can help you. Though you may look a little crazy, it's exceedingly helpful. And that is talk to yourself, not necessarily to say I'm good, I'm calm, we're going to be okay. Talk to yourself as a coach, as you're coaching yourself.
Yeah.
This is what I need to do. Or, you know, okay, go left, go right, go straight. Now slow down. You need to pull a little bit more on the reins. The horse is not doing this. I need to drive with my seat more, blah, 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 blah. Coach yourself as if you are that coach, talking to you, and speak it out loud, because what that also does is while you are talking, you only have enough room to think a moment before about what you're about to say and then actually say it. It clears the rest of your mind. And what's an even better benefit as a rider, mind you, and when I say that, you know, coaching yourself can be done without riding, but as a benefit as a rider, it also helps you with the most important facet of riding, and that's called breathing. Because something that I'm sure people with tensions or anxieties and fears, it's one of the things that they forget to do, and that is breathe. Yeah. Or they get that really short, shallow breath type thing. And so when you're talking, you have to force yourself to, it forces you to breathe. You don't have to think about it. Some people have always talked about they sing, and you're welcome to sing, but we don't want to hear him singing.
No. It's interesting when you're saying, when you're talking, you're breathing. I remember wrestling in middle school. And I remember the coach, right? You're in the position, you can't breathe at all. And you're like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
But you're talking.
Well, and I remember my coach screaming, if you can talk, you can breathe. And I'm like, yeah. And so it is, it allows you to do that. But also one of the things too, when you're coaching yourself, check out the conversation. If you're coaching yourself the right way, you're going to be saying things like you can do this or check on this or whatever. And what you're not saying is, I can't do this. And all the other things that are bringing yourself down, that conversation isn't there anymore, because now you're choosing the conversation you want to have. Too many times we're listening to ourselves, but we're not talking to ourselves.
Yeah.
Focus on the talking to yourself.
I do fear, though, that if we had like 10,000 people watching this or more, we would end up seeing like a fluctuation of crazy people, because they just start talking to themselves all the time.
Gotta watch Walker.
But obviously it is a thing that if you're not a person to talk to yourself, you feel crazy. If you're already doing it, you're like, well, that's right up my alley.
Just change the conversation.
There it is. Change the conversation, change the way that you're doing it. And like I said, even when you start thinking about, when there's people out there that are singing to themselves to work on their breathing, you're also, most of the time, people are also doing that to help create relaxation.
Yeah.
And I still advise you to stop the singing but start up the conversation, because I'm a big component of coaching yourself through these things, because you'll become that much better off about, you know, as a rider overall. If you literally, if you feel that you're out of position, if you feel that you're, you know, not delivering the right message, tell yourself that, but tell it in a way like, my right hand, take that right hand, put it down. Because before you were sitting there, you're looking at it like, oh crap, that right hand is up. Why can I not put this stupid right hand down?
I had this right hand all the whole time.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what to do with my hand. What was that? Ricky Bobby. But it's one of those things that you could internally be saying, put it down. But until you say, Scott, put that right hand down. Okay.
Yeah.
So coaching yourself in that manner is actually really beneficial.
Well, and you got to get this too. We have an awful business model. I know I do. Where I don't want
to give crap away for free.
Well, and, I don't want to have dependent clients when I work with folks. I want raving fans. And so you're not always going to have me standing there with you, or Scott standing there with you in the videos
true.
And that. Wherever you go, there you are. And so the more prepared you are on the inside to coach yourself, right? You need these baby steps to begin with, right? And then the tools and the techniques and all that other stuff. But ideally, you become your coach. You become the person that gets out there and gets it done, because it's your life. And so if you don't know the first steps to take, then that's where we jump in. That's where we help. And that's where we begin to guide you through that process.
And now we have dogs to,
and they agree.
to aid in the whole process. But, you know, that, again, this whole conversation type thing of coaching ourselves, is going to be key, you know, yeah. to really bring in,
it's a powerful first step.
Yeah, it really is. My dogs are driving me crazy. They get in my head. So is there anything else that kind of goes along with this chatterbox? Any other tip that might resonate with people?
So another way too, and when I'm working with some clients, is I'll have them begin to change the voice that's going on inside as well. Mm. If you're finding that it's completely negative all the time, one of the big things to get from this is that words have meaning and power when we give them power. Mm-hmm. If I looked at Scott and I called him a water bottle. Yep. Right? I'm seeing that in over there. If I called you a water bottle and nothing you can do about it,
yeah.
Does that hurt you? Does that?
Well, I mean, a little.
it doesn't have any significance. There's no meaning to it. And so when we recognize that not only the meaning we have control of, but also the voice. And if all of a sudden you change the voice for just a moment to SpongeBob or Mr. Crab or something like that. I'm stuck on that right now. My kids love it, and so do I.
SpongeBob's a weird one. Like, when I didn't have, not having kids, I'm like, well, who would watch this? And having kids, you're like, I kind of like this.
Changes everything. Yeah. The other one for me, Friendship is Magic, My Little Pony. Like,
I get you lost me there. But you have girls, I have boys.
And so the thing to get is, if all of a sudden you change even those negative thoughts to that, they don't have as much meaning to it. Sometimes they actually become amusing. Mm. And again, all of this stuff is happening in our mind anyways. But when all of a sudden, instead of taking the reactive role to your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, to more of a proactive role to this stuff, now all of a sudden that gives you more of that control. Because too many times in life, we feel like we're the victim of it, right? We can't control the stuff that's constantly going on. It's the noise, not just from the outside, but from the inside. And so once all of a sudden you begin to get control of that space, now all of a sudden you can change that perception, and you can begin to change the quality of your life, whether it's in the ring or whether your finances, relationships, you name it.
Yeah. I think that's a huge, huge piece of all of this. And honestly, Nathan, this has been a great conversation with this. And as much as I want to keep going with it, I think we should kind of break this up and keep up.
Chew on this for a little bit.
Yeah, chew on this, and then, you know, we'll come back, do another podcast. I don't know, though, if, like, we're doing this, I created, like, this little studio. This is my dining room. So, like, at the moment, I don't think that I could keep setting this studio up and have a happy wife.
I get that.
So, at any rate, we'll
find a place.
Yeah, but we will at least bring it back as well in doing more podcasts. And this podcast will be available on Confident Equestrian.
.com.
Okay. Well, wherever the hell he's going to have it. I don't really know.
But that's where it's going to start at.
That's where it's going to start. Yeah. And so you can look it on there. You can go to Horse and Home Podcast and see it on anywhere you get, you know, podcasts. And like we always said, feel free, if you're watching it or listening to it from Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a review, a positive one, hopefully, because that always helps as well. But I'd like to thank you guys for watching. Guys on Facebook Live, really appreciate you guys being a part of it. And sorry, we did not get to anybody's questions. We can't actually see any questions if you had any. So we do apologize for that. But if you guys have any comments or things that suggestions of videos that you or podcasts you'd like us to do, please feel free to write in the comment section below. Yeah. Or if you're just listening to this on the podcast and you have any suggestions or things you'd like to hear, make sure to leave them in the review, because we are more than happy to talk about it. And the more content, the more we can deliver, the more we can help people. That's what we want to do.
That's it.
Well, thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time.